Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. We're going to take a look at a few verses here later in the chapter, around verse 58. And just want us to keep our hearts open to what the Lord might be saying to us as individuals, but also as a church. And if you've turned there, Luke chapter 9, let's start with verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Now he's talking to Jesus. And Jesus replies, not just to the man, but those who were walking along the road with Jesus so they could all hear. And his reply is to this man who says he'll follow him wherever he goes. "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Jesus is talking a little bit about, to follow him. There are some costs. Now, salvation is free. I want you to remember that. I don't know what you've been told before, and it's not that I want you to listen to my words, but the Scripture teaches us, that's what I want us to listen to, is His Word, that we are saved from our sin, okay, because we're all born into it, so we need to be forgiven of sin. Our salvation from sin is by faith in Him. In other words, the Scripture says you are saved by God's grace through faith. In other words, even though we're sinful and God is holy, He has looked upon us with favor. Okay? He loves us, cares about us. And it wasn't based upon our performance, whether we were nice or we weren't nice. God loved us. And so He gave us this grace. And the way we apply this grace to our life, the Scripture says we are saved by grace through faith. We apply faith. We believe upon Him, and it pours out this grace to our life. And that is how we are saved. We believe upon Jesus Christ, ask forgiveness of our sins, and follow Him. Okay, we stumble along the way, and we need His grace to continue to change us and help us and move along. But this faith in Him is this ongoing work in us, not just like Sunday at church. And so we are saved not by our works. We're not saved because we're good. We're saved because He's good, and He gave us grace. And when we believe upon Him, we are saved. We are forgiven. And so we are saved by God's grace through faith in Him, not of our own works that we could boast of it and say, "Well, I'm good enough, so I'm going to heaven." If you have heard a gospel or salvation message that talks about you'll only go to heaven if you're good, in other words, by your own works, I want you to know that is what the Apostle Paul fought against in the New Testament. It's don't blend works for salvation. We are saved because of Christ's work on the cross. And we believe upon Him in faith that we are forgiven. Now, to justify that kind of faith, we do good things. All right? As a testimony of God's goodness to us. We're not saved because of the good works. We're saved because of His good work. And it's by putting faith in Him that changes the way we live and who we are. And we build off that salvation block, that foundation. And so Jesus here is saying, yeah, salvation, remember, it's free. But to follow me, you know what? It costs. Salvation's free, but following Him costs. In other words, our flesh, who we are, our natural tendencies don't always like the way God does things or what He wants us to do and how we want to live. And so we need that transformation, that change. And so this man who was following along said, "I will follow, Jesus, I will follow you. I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus says and reminds him and the other hearers, if you follow me, you know, you got to remember, birds of the air have nests and foxes have holes and dens, but I don't have any place to lay my head. In other words, traveling along with me and following me, you might not have some conveniences that you're used to. He said to another man, "You follow me." But the man replied, "Jesus or Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And I want you to know that Jesus didn't catch him in the middle of a funeral procession. It was a responsibility that older sons had in their culture and time to make sure and look after when their father passes away from life as, you know, we know it, that he took care of everything. And so he had this responsibility. In other words, "Lord, I'll follow you, but let me just stay here and take care of tradition and others' expectations and what I'm supposed to do. And when my father dies, then I will come and follow you." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." One of the hard teachings and sayings of Jesus. You know, Jesus is full of grace and truth, and you might have this expectation that says, "Oh, well, it's okay. Yeah, I understand." Jesus just says, "Listen, you can take care of your family and be responsible to them because we're supposed to be, but the kingdom of God and honoring our Father in heaven takes precedence because this life is temporary, but eternity is eternity." And sometimes you and I lose focus and we think that which is temporary is so important, and we forget in the middle of our busyness that eternity still exists. And so Jesus is calling him to the focus that not to shirk your responsibilities, but listen, eternity is like forever. Eternity matters. Still another said from the crowd, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first go back and say goodbye to my family." And Jesus replies, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." We want to look at these verses today, and I want the Lord to put in our hearts a revelation, not just about these people that Jesus talked to, but am I some of these people? Are you and I some of these people that were walking along with Jesus, and do we relate to some of their reasons or excuses to put off the immediate following of Christ in our life? Are we just kind of following him, worshiping him, believing in him at moments of our convenience only? Or are we devoted followers of him? And that's kind of the question I want us to kind of keep in our mind as we walk through these verses this morning and as I talk a little bit about them. Here's this question, the cost of following Christ. And I think about, you know, this is the Lord God Almighty. I mean, even some of them addressed him as Lord. In that alone, there was this confession that I kind of have a glimpse, I have a faith in who you, Jesus, really are. And you and I in this room, we would, if we were to stop and think, we'd say, you know, if he is really the Lord, and I believe he's the Lord, who in their right mind would ever say, "Yeah, Lord, hold on. Or what you're saying or asking, you know, it's not the highest priority for me." I mean, I don't want to be caught saying, hold that thought. Hold that call. Hold the direction. Lord, wait a minute. You know, they called him Lord. Lord in itself is this confession that he has reigning ability. He has reigning authority. You are the master, right? Well, when we say, and it's a paradox, Lord, hold off, I want to go do this. And then we go do it. So in that context, though we call him Lord, who's really Lord? Me. Because I'm doing what I want. Instead of what that moment or that revelation of who he is calling me to become as a person or to do in some action. So here they are saying, Lord, and he knows as they come forth with what they're saying that he is not Lord to them personally. It's only a title when they called him Lord. I don't want that to be the case in my life. My natural tendency, do what I want. Does that person live in your house? And don't look at your spouse. So they call him Lord, and yet they do not respond to his call or his way of life or the priorities of the kingdom of heaven while they are here on earth. If we do this with God, if we treat God this way, who is the Almighty, who really is the Lord, if we do this with the highest that has ever been, that ever shall be, the God who created by words and things manifested, and those things that manifested became perpetual, that it continues to go on. I mean, the Lord of heaven and earth, all authority. I mean, if we put him off, everything else in our life we can put off too. A commitment to following him, well, when he's not really Lord, it is easy to put off ministry. It's easy to put off church. It's easy to put off responsibilities in this life that actually we should be doing that glorify his name so that we become good testimonies or witnesses of who he is. And if we're putting off the Lord Almighty and we're putting off, you know, church and church ministry and things like that, and we're saying, no, I don't have room for that, or I don't like that, or, oh, people bug me. Well, welcome to the group. We all have people that bug us. In fact, you know, we might be one of them. Right? But, you know, if we put the Lord off, it's easy to put church off and people off and ministry off and giving off and any type of little sacrifice. So, you know, I don't want us to sit here all pious and righteous and say, point to these people that were walking with Jesus saying, I'll follow you, Lord, and then they don't. Oh, what's wrong with them? Don't sit here pious. You and I have moments every day where we have the opportunity to call him Lord and live according to it, or call him Lord and do our own thing. If we don't have a heart for him, we won't have a heart for his people. And if we don't have a heart for him or his people, we will not have a heart for those who don't know him. So we can call him Lord and we can sing the choruses and we can go through the motions. And we can even throw a few bucks in the offering And we can do these things that appear to be what Christians do, and yet, if we don't really have a heart for His people, we're never going to reach out to those who don't know Him. Or maybe believe He exists out there somewhere, but they have not, by faith, applied His grace to their life, like we talked about. That they could be forgiven, and they could live in eternity with God who loves them. If we put Him off, we are not going to listen to His promptings along the way. If we put off the big call to follow Him and be His disciple and become like Him, if we put that big call off, we're not going to listen to the other things. Like, go help this person and go give here. And, whoa, you take a right turn here because there's somebody over here who I want to touch. And you know what? I'm sending you. Listen, if you put Him off and don't have a love for His people and those other people, I'll just tell you this. For example, waiters and waitresses who wait on you become invisible to you until you're not pleased with the service or the meal. They're invisible to you, unless you want something. I want to remind you something. That waiter and waitress, they are people. They are people. Their job is to take your order and bring your food and keep your coffee cup full. Yes, that's their job. But that's what they do. That's not who they are. They are a person. It's our heart for people. Let me ask you this. Who did you reach to this week? Who'd you reach out to? Who'd you share the gospel with this week? Who did you start to lay a foundation of some kind of relationship with so that good seeds could be planted, that maybe their ears could be open for you to share the goodness of Jesus Christ so that they could be saved for eternity? Or was it just about your schedule this week? Or was it just about your agenda, your plan, all the emergencies that happen around you? Who'd you invite to church this week? I'm not taking the woodshed. I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you that, you know what? We call Him Lord. But is He really? I mean, what are our excuses? What are our reasons? Oh, I'm too smart for all this faith stuff. I'm too smart. I don't know about all this God stuff and He created and blah, blah, blah. You know, all this that you call blah, blah, blah. Listen, the same account is given in Matthew chapter 8. And if you were to look there, this man that we read about in Luke 9 that says, you know, starting off, this man was following him and said, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. Do you know who that man was? You find the revelation of who he was in Matthew chapter 8. It says he was a teacher of the law. In other words, he was an attorney. An attorney of God's law. Now, attorneys may not know how to tie their shoes, but they're very intelligent. You know what I mean by that. Now, if you're an attorney, don't be offended, but you look down at your feet. You're wearing slip-ons. What I'm saying is this. You know, sometimes very intelligent people, they can't, you know, do some simple, they can't figure simple things out, okay? It doesn't mean they can't tie the shoe. I'm being a little facetious. Please don't take personal offense. I'm wearing slip-ons too. They just go a little higher, buddy. Real men wear boots. Anyhow, the point is this. It wasn't just some slouch, some bum along the side of the road. This was an attorney. He was smart. He recognized who Jesus was. Now, I don't know how intelligent you are. Maybe, you know, you can argue with the best of attorneys and win, and you understand all kinds of things. And, hey, that's great. More power to you. But, you know, what's our excuse? Too smart? I don't know. Too busy? Got my own thing going on. Listen, I understand the practicalities of real life. Because I'm a pastor, I am not immune to that. I got married fairly young. We had 4 children within 4.5 years. We have been in the ministry for 20 some years. We get busy. We get it. I don't mean we just get busy. We get it. For a lot of ministry years, I worked 2 jobs. Pastor Den worked. Listen, I get it. I understand it. The needs of family, the needs of schedule, the demands of others. I get it. I understand it. I am not immune to it. And I still have to say, Lord, you know, is there still room for recreation? Sure. You can rest. You can recreate. But I'll tell you the best way to recreate is you do it with people and you have meaningful relationship with them. And you know what? Sometimes you go outside your natural friendship circle and include somebody who maybe is new to the Lord or doesn't really know the Lord, and you know what? You have them come in to your friendship group instead of the calls just being to your 2 friends. If we don't have a heart for the Lord and we're too busy, we aren't going to have time for people. We aren't going to have time to minister. We just call them Lord. Sing a couple songs to them. Give them our prayer needs. Shed a little tear because I was moved. But is he master? I want you to know, if he's the master, and you and I are who we are, he is going to call us and ask us to do some things that we are uncomfortable with. He will. And it's not to give us a hard time. It's that there's purpose in it. He's got mission in it. He's got a heart for you and other people. I mean, if we can't get past the Lord, I'll follow you part, we're never going to get to the Lord, I'll obey you and these other things. Put your heart in me. We make church optional. We make reaching out to people optional. I'm busy right now. You know, you got other people you can ask to do things. Hey, listen. He may have asked other people already. You weren't even his first choice. Maybe we got this philosophy that goes on in us that I'm going to do what I do, and you know what? Tomorrow. Chances are, if you have that philosophy, you started saying tomorrow at age 16, and you're now in your midlife, and you're still saying tomorrow. And you left a trail of unfinished things. Maybe it's tradition that's got you. Maybe the expectations of others. Maybe you're locked up in what you heard or what was told to you from a long time ago that wasn't even based upon truth, even though they said, it's in the Bible. Listen, I've had a lot of people tell me, it's in the Bible somewhere that it says this, and I'm listening and I'm going, now, I don't know everything. I don't remember everything and where it's at, but I'm at least a fair student of his word. And I don't have a sweet clue where they got that idea. I said, you know, and I even responded at the time, not to argue. I said, do you remember where you read that? Well, I don't know that I read it anywhere. I think somebody told me. And we're living our life according to that? No wonder we have a philosophy of tomorrow. Expectations of others. You know, I recall in the Old Testament, it's in 2 Kings chapter 2. Do you remember the prophet Elijah? And if you're here and you haven't heard about Elijah or all of that, I'm not going to take time to explain all, but Elijah was a prophet. And he came across one day a younger man than himself that he was going to hand the mantle of his prophet ministry off, and prophet was P-R-O-P-H-E-T, not P-R-O-F-I-T, you Americans. Going to hand the ministry of being a prophet off to another fella called Elisha. When he found Elisha, Elisha was plowing in his father's field behind a team of oxen. And Elijah went up, threw his cloak around Elisha, and was walking away. And Elisha recognized it as the call of God upon his life. Elisha said goodbye to the family, to the farm, and his future business. And he said, I have been called. In fact, he went to the extreme of taking the time to burn the yoke and the plowing equipment that he was behind. He said, I'm not coming back. I don't know my future, and I don't know all about being a prophet. I don't know all that God's leading me into. I didn't sit down and say, give me the full job description now, and what's the offer? What's the package? What's, you know, what's my medical package? You know, is this safe and secure? He responded to the call, and Elisha received a double portion of Elijah's anointing. It wasn't wait. It wasn't, you know, Lord, hold on. What a great example of responding to the Holy Spirit of God when he speaks to us and reveals to us God's love or call or direction or conviction or correction or encouragement. What a response. Instead of, Lord, I'll follow you. But wait, or but this. You know, it's interesting, verse 62, it says, Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Do you recall any people who looked back in the scripture? And when it says look back, it means they put their hand to the plow of the salvation of God or the kingdom of God and the principles of God and the character of God and living by faith in God and faithfulness. And then you look over your shoulder. By the way, how straight do you go forward when you're looking backwards? Listen, don't go over to Bob Frisky's place and say, I offer to plow your fields for you, and you're driving his equipment forward, but you're busy looking backwards. Don't go to his place and offer that. Uh-uh. Not because he's picky. It's just that his land is like this, up on the ridge. You aren't going to plow straight. Nobody's going to. Who looked back? Lot's wife, Old Testament. They're leaving. They were told, do not look back. Follow God's salvation and him rescuing you. She looked back. What happened to her? She turned into a pillar of salt. Now, don't take this out of context and just say, oh, no. Oh, no, if I look back on other things with affection, I'm just, you know, when it rains, I'm just going to be, all I'm going to do is bring rust to people's car. I'm going to be salt, and it's good. I'm not telling you he's going to turn you into a pillar of salt. I'm just telling you that when we don't answer him as Lord and we look back over something in our life before with affection, with desire, like I want to go back there, I wish I was doing that, instead of following him, we open up to all kinds of havoc in our life. You want to know some other people that look back? Do you remember God delivering his people out of slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt? Do you remember this? If you want to get a quick synopsis, you could watch the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. Buddy, have you watched it yet? Because I didn't receive that one-page report, you know, that you watched it. You know you haven't yet. You what? You have the movie? Like, is it on, like, you know, on a reel? Or is it VHS or a DVD? You don't know. Do you know where it's at? In your house. Your parents are hiding. She's waving. So, now when's the last time I mentioned this to you? A few weeks ago? Yeah. You've been busy, though. Christmas break and all. Yeah. I'm just giving you a hard time. Just because other people enjoy it. It's the enjoyment factor. In that movie, now, remind you, it's not all biblical. Okay, don't, you know, it's not all biblical. It'd be good if you read the scripture. But it gives you a nice overview. And God's people are in slavery to the Egyptians. And God's going to get them out of there. He's going to save his people. I'm over here. He's going to save his people. I'm painful to look at, I know. Get his people out of slavery, because he's going to bring them to a promised land flowing with milk and honey. And they start the trek out of Egypt. Now, I don't want to ruin the movie for you, so watch it still. Oh, Waddell family. Have you parents seen it? Your dad says yes, mom says no. She's passed on the generational curse for, no, I'm kidding. I want a 10-page report from you. No, I'm kidding you. Watch the movie. She'll make you popcorn. She will. Extra butter. Anyhow, going to bring his people out of Egypt. And as they begin to come out of Egypt and God is setting them free from slavery, they begin to travel towards the promised land. But as they move along on the traveling, they get frustrated. They get disobedient. They think, oh, this is so hard. And they forget about how hard it was to be beaten and to serve another person's purpose every day of their life. And if you died, you didn't matter. As they go through the wilderness on the way to promise, and God provides for them and does supernatural things for them, he is good to them. They begin at some point to complain and say, in the scripture it says, they say, it would be better for us to turn back and go to Egypt. What? Your people have cried 400 years to get out of slavery. You happen to be here at the generation that God is going to deliver, and you are no longer there, and he's going to bring you to a promised land, and all you do is complain and want to look back with affection upon being a slave? And those people, guess what? The trip to the promised land got longer. And you know partly why? Because they complained and griped and murmured. And then you know what else? Those who did, who looked back with affection, let's go to Egypt, they died in the desert and they didn't even get into the promised land. Don't look back with affection on the old life. If you call him Lord and Master, he is going to bring you into new things. And yes, sometimes it costs. And yes, sometimes it's inconvenient. And yes, sometimes it's not as financially rewarding. But he will always take care of those who follow him in faith. And the more you follow him and have faith in him, the more you love him. The more you discover all this love he's had for you. And you know what? He puts in you his heart for even people who bug you. He puts his heart in you where you begin to say yes to doing things in his kingdom. And you do it with joy. And he begins to put his heart in you. And all of a sudden, you're calling him Lord. And you're loving his people, and you're loving people who don't even know him. That your waiter and waitress are no longer invisible to you. It's not about their job to serve you. It's about your kingdom responsibility to go ahead and eat and enjoy what they bring and treat them like a person. I hate the phrase over the stores that say, here, go to customer service. Because I've watched Christians get the idea that it's customer service and they owe me. When we forgot our kingdom responsibility standing at the customer service counter to be a representation of who God is. Even though your appliance doesn't work. That you're returning. Even though you have a question about the bill and the cost of the labor to get your muffler put back on, you care more about me standing on the pew than about the people who are lost. Sorry, Tony. I didn't wear these to the barn. We're okay. Do you call him Lord? I call you Lord, but I'm running the show. It's not that he is this grueling, harsh master. It's that our flesh, our natural tendency kicks against him so much. But the more we would follow him, the more his heart would be put in us, and the more our heart would be changed. Listen, I know you're going to miss church from time to time. I know it. I'm going to miss from time to time. But it's not just about going to church. It's about being his follower 24/7. 24/7 is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I have to explain stuff like that because I didn't always know what that was. The first time somebody put LOL in a message to me, I didn't know what it was. I thought it meant lots of love. I did. I got an email. It was actually from a lady in an office. And I read that and I went, lots of love. It can't mean that. Oh, please, it can't mean that. I laughed about that when I discovered it just meant laugh out loud. Then I was like, oh, and I did. I was so relieved. I know, I'm just not with it, honey. It takes me a long time. My wife's into all the cool stuff. She's just dragging the old dog along, you know. We call him Lord. But are we following him? are we following? Where's the priority? Listen, it becomes less of an obligation when you actually make the faith personal and you know him personal and he puts his heart in you. It becomes so personal that it's not an obligation. It's kind of like waking up and saying, I'm committing my way to you today. I don't know what today holds. There's some things on my schedule, but I don't know what today holds. But you do. And you know what? Lead me today. Lead me today. Lead me today. If I'm going to go recreate, Lord, you know, I like to do it with people. And so who should I call? Do I just need a friendship time, or do we do a friendship and evangelism, reach out, include time? I mean, Lord, what is it you want? Lord, I have a lunch meeting today. When I walk into that restaurant, don't let me just be about the meeting. Let me be about your kingdom. We want to be responsible in the meeting, but let me be about your kingdom. Let me take time to walk through the restaurant slowly and scan who's there and finally make my way to the table so I can say hi to a bunch of people, some who I know and some who I don't. At any turn, the Lord has something for you to do for him. For his name. Or are we too busy? Who'd you reach this week? That's just a question of inventory. Who'd you try to lay a foundation with this week that you could maybe someday, when you see him again, keep building that so you could share Christ, give him good news? Instead of just saying, well, I ain't coming back here again. That person treated me. They're all crabby. Well, do you know what their home life is? Do you know whether or not their boss just chewed on them for 10, 15 minutes before you got there? Do you know what kind of house they grew up in? Do you know what they experienced as a kid? I mean, do you know all that? Maybe they just need somebody to be kind to them when they don't deserve it. These are the things I got to remember. Because we're supposed to be about his business. Do we really mean, Lord, I'll follow you? It's not just now inventory. Who did we reach this last week or reach out to? This is the question. Who am I going to reach this week? I don't want you to walk out of here guilt over last week. If the Spirit convicted you of something along the way, that's between you and him. But it's about, what about this week? What about today? What about tomorrow? Who have I been treating like they're invisible that I can take time and make sure they're noticed? That they matter? That there's somebody who cares about them and what they do.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.